Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News, and it was a consequential week in Washington last week, so we are turning right away to the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Ken, welcome. Wow.
Good morning, Carrie.
What a week. Man.
How many times have we let a show off by saying, what a week?
I'm tempted to put the phone number out because I know this Russia stuff is so complex. How do you feel about taking a few questions about that specifically? Would that be all right?
I think we can do that.
Okay. Here's the phone number to talk to Ken, get his read on Robert Mueller and where this Russia investigation is headed and what we know so far. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. And you can send your questions in on Twitter, at @CarrieMPR. Ken, what I've noticed is that President Trump's tweets about Mueller have accelerated over the last, let's say, 5 or 6 days, and they've become angrier and angrier, especially as the evidence is now pointing towards the campaign and the Russians. Give me your sense about how you see President Trump reacting to the news that we've been getting.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think, yes, he has been getting angrier and more, it seemed like more and more urgent. Part of it, I think, is because I think that there's a sense that that Robert Mueller's investigation, I don't know how close it is to being completed, but it seems to be making its case more solidly every time we see another pronouncement or any kind of report coming out of his office. And two, we're only a month or less than a month from the Democrats taking control of the House, when the I word, which was not used, you didn't hear much of that in the past 2 years, has been heard more and more. So between the Democrats taking over the House and Mueller getting closer and closer to Trump and his organization and the business dealings in Russia, which during the campaign, which the president had always denied, it's just creeping down, creeping up to him much more importantly and more ominously than it had been before.
You know, I think this is also confusing because we're hearing news developments and legal developments about Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, and these payoffs to the women during the campaign. And we're also getting developments about what is happening with the Russia investigation. So if you're not really paying attention, they all kind of blend into one. But there are some parallel tracks happening here, aren't there?
Well, I mean, the Michael Cohen investigation really has nothing to do with Robert Mueller. Basically, this is federal prosecutors talking about campaign finance violations and hush money being meted out by Michael Cohen on behalf of Donald Trump when it comes to keeping at least two women quiet during the 2016 campaign with campaign funds. I think $130,000 for Stormy Daniels, another amount for a former Playboy playmate. And of course, Trump says, well, this has nothing to do with me. It's all about Michael Cohen, which strains credulity, of course. But the fact is that while the federal prosecutors are going after Michael Cohen, and I guess we'll see on Wednesday how long he'll be sentenced, but between Cohen lying for the president and the Trump organization itself lying about dealings with Russia, you do have two parallel investigations going on at the same time, neither of which looks like it's going to end in the president's favor.
Well, and anytime soon. I mean, we keep hearing, well, it looks like Mueller's rabbit, but and on it goes. So a call here for you, Ken, from Tom in Edina. Hey, Tom, what do you want to know?
Well, what we're hearing is tweets and hearsay. We have not heard what the president is saying in court. What about that?
Yeah, the president was interviewed by Mueller's team, right? And gave some written or submitted to a written, I guess, series of questions. Is that right, Ken?
That's correct. Not under oath, is my understanding. Not under oath. And yes, he did submit to some questions. But, you know, Tom makes a very good point. It's not against the law to lie in a tweet. It's not against the law to lie in a press conference, but it is against the law to lie to federal prosecutors. So, you know, we did see with Bill Clinton saying that I did not have sex and did not do this and did not do that. But when it came to ultimately testifying, he did tell the truth. And so, and he did apologize to the American people. This is not the same thing. I think this is far deeper than what Bill Clinton was accused of, especially with dealings with a foreign power that may have influenced a presidential election, may have illegally influenced a presidential election. So we don't know what the president really has said in the testimony, but it almost feels that, I mean, in answering to questions, you almost don't feel like you almost don't need the president to testify, given what you've heard from Manafort and Papadopoulos and Michael Cohen and everybody else who was associated with either Russia or Michael Cohen.
Well, so you say, in other words, for them to come to some kind of conclusion on the investigation, they may not need the president's testimony, but they would still want it, wouldn't they?
Of course they would want. Yeah, of course they would want it. And from the beginning, President Trump said, "Oh, I have no hesitation at all testifying." And yet Rudy Giuliani and all his assortment of attorneys say, "Oh my goodness, you don't want to do that because they all feel that the president could easily perjure himself." The fact is that sometimes I feel that when the president says things, I think, and then it happened to be not true, I sometimes think that he really believes them to be true. Like there's almost a sense that well, it didn't happen, and or I didn't say this, and yet we all heard the president say this. So there's a big difference between reality and what's going on in the president's mind regarding honesty. And it sounds like I'm being snarky, but it really feels that the president believes in what he's saying. And I think that a good portion of the American public, let alone Republicans in Congress, believe him as well. And that's why we are anticipating what Mueller has to say, you know, so fervently.
You've brought up something interesting. I was reading a piece today in The Washington Post about a new category needed for the president's 86-time misstatements about building the wall. And the Post was just fact-checking is not changing the record. And the president continues to say that the wall's being built. I'm building the wall. And, you know, the paper was making the point that the Pinocchio thing is no longer getting it done.
No, it doesn't. You know something? I was once on a panel with somebody who was one of those fact checkers, and I basically said, "Well, what's the point? I mean, look, the fact
wait
is
a minute,
that
the record is
said,
the point, Ken. That's important, isn't it?
Well, the record, of course, is the point. Yeah. But I'm saying, what's the point if you ask the president, if you ask members of the Senate who will still back him, you know, to the hilt when it comes to things like that? I didn't really say that Mexico was going to pay for the wall, will pay for the wall, and now Mexico will pay us back. The story changes every time, you know, some facts seem to change. Mm. So for the president to basically talk about shutting down the government because Chuckie Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are not going to go along with a $5 billion payment for a border wall that he promised us, Donald Trump promised us Mexico would pay for, is just beyond.
A call here from Steve in Lindstrom. Hey, Steve, your question for
Hello.
Ken. Hi.
Hey, I love listening to you guys. My question is, there's so much talk about corruption and collusion. How are those interrelated with regards to this whole thing?
Yeah, that's a really good. So the definitions and the difference of the definition. Ken, I don't know if you have that, but that is a really good question for us to explore in a future conversation.
Well, it absolutely is. Look. I mean, whatever you want to, however you want to define collusion, of course, the president, if somebody says, "President, how are you feeling today?" and his answer will be, "There's no collusion," that's his go-to answer, no matter what the question is. But the fact is that if Paul Manafort and if Donald Trump Jr. and if Jared Kushner is at a meeting where somebody who has ties to the Russian government says, I have dirt on Hillary Clinton and we're all Russians and we're sitting down in the middle of a campaign. If that is not collusion, I mean, to me, that's exactly what the definition of collusion is. So again, there are legal issues here, right. And I think Steve asked an important question that what's in Ken Rudin's mind of collusion may not satisfy a legal definition. By the way, you don't want to know what's in Ken Rudin's mind about anything.
Gee, I was thinking that thing.
I knew you were. I heard the giggling.
Right.
But I think it's a very important question. There's politics and there's law, and that doesn't always go hand in hand.
I watch Meet the Press on Sundays, and Peggy Noonan was on the roundtable yesterday, a former speechwriter for President Reagan. She said something kind of interesting. She said, Trump world does not do well with sunlight, meaning the more light you shine on some of this stuff that was going on in the shadows during the campaign and now in the early years of the president's term, who knows what you're going to find when you keep turning over rocks. I think that's pretty undeniable, don't you?
I think absolutely. I agree completely. And that has been Donald Trump Industries from day one. The fact is that unlike previous president, he did not grow up in the world of politics where you cast votes and you campaigned and you and things like that.
Which was his appeal to many voters.
But at the same time, he had a shady. He lived in the shady world of real estate and deals and under the table deals that would never be sanctioned in the world of politics. But he has almost seamlessly carried that kind of ethic into the world of politics. And maybe it'll catch up with him, but maybe it won't, because I have a feeling that no matter what the court says about Michael Cohen, no matter what Mueller says about the investigation into Russia and things like that, the president will say this is just fake news, and I think a good portion of the country will say, we agree with you.
You know, Ken, you might get a call from the White House about this chief of staff job because they seem to be having trouble filling it. Now I'm seeing CNN reporting a member of Congress has said no. We know that Mike Pence's chief of staff has said no to taking the job, and he's going back to Georgia. Who do you think ends up in this gig?
I'm thinking Steve Doocy of Fox and Friends. Because, no,
yeah.
That's not true.
No, I know why you're saying that, though. The woman that was a Fox, quote-unquote, journalist who ended up as a spokesperson is now going to be the ambassador to the U.N.,
she is the person who said, talking about the great moments of U.S. and Germany relations, was D-Day. She said that.
God.
She said that's one of the great moments
Heather
in
Nauert.
American
yeah. Germany.
So, yeah, Heather Nauert. So, I mean, it is, look, there's no, but we said from the beginning that we among, with Reince Priebus and John Kelly, it's almost impossible to have order in a White House that lives on disorder, that lives on controversy, that lives on one faction fighting another. So the fact is that the big story, I think is a legitimately big story, is that Ayers, who's the chief of staff of Vice President Pence, by saying he wouldn't take it. This was the guy that Trump wanted from the beginning. Trump has not liked John Kelly for the longest time. Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner were very close with Ayers. They wanted Kelly gone. It seemed like Kelly lasted longer than I thought he would. But I thought it was going to be a seamless transition by getting Nick Ayers into that. Trump wanted him. Nick Ayers says no. And now, when you said CNN said no, was that Mark Meadows who said
yes.
No?
Yes, it was.
Oh,
right.
Okay, so Mark Meadows is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, whom, you know, given the fact that you're going to have a Democratic House next year, Trump needs better relationship with Congress more than ever. And I would have thought maybe taking somebody from Congress would have done the trick. But I don't think by definition anybody could do the trick, given the inherent insanities that go on within this White House.
Yeah, apparently Meadows didn't just say no. He said absolutely not. To be fair to the president, it's a draining job no matter who is sitting in the Oval Office. I mean, you know, President Obama went through a few chiefs of staff, too. I mean, it is demanding in a way that I think most of us probably only peripherally understand. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, but when you think of the Leon Panettas of the world, the James Bakers of the world, with Ronald Reagan, you can be a very effective chief of staff, work out relationships within the staff, work out relationships between Congress and the administration. You can be successful, but when you are so mercurial that you become your own chief of staff, your own secretary of state, your own everything, it is very hard trying to instill order there.
One last thought here from Riley on Twitter. Such fun listening to the political junkie. He gets so excited. You do.
Yes, but I'm not happy. I need to be happy.
You do. You just need to be happier.
I do.
That's the key. Okay, Ken, chat with you again soon.
There's always something to talk about. Thank you.
There is, yeah. See you next Monday.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. You can add your voice to the discussion by calling in at 800-242-2828 or tweeting us at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, NPR. To hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks!